Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, David James here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into a lot of different things with Gentry, including Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Their regionals beginning later this week. We'll get Gentry's thoughts on all that coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe, was a busy offseason for Rand Carthon and the Tennessee Titans. Lots of additions in free agency. A big trade with L'Jarius Sneed coming in. And then, obviously, the draft picks with J.C. Latham in the first round, Tavondre Sweat in the second round, among others. Very busy for Rand Carthon. Lots of roster turnover. Lots of different players coming in. Look, it was an offseason of change for the Titans in more ways than one. We know this. The Mike Vrabel era has now come to an end. I think back, Joe, to the day of the press conference where Vrabel was gone and Rand Carthon was up there fielding questions that he probably had no business fielding because the owner should have been up there fielding those questions. And the conversation that we had the day after was just like, okay, where is this going? That was not a great press conference from Rand Carthon. In fairness, he was put in a very bad situation by Titans ownership. Where is this thing going from here? They've hired Brian Callahan since then. There seems to be a nice relationship, a nice collaboration between Brian Callahan and Rand Carthon underway here. What questions do you feel like Rand Carthon has answered with his approach, with what he's been able to pull off in one offseason with all the different acquisitions that the Titans have made?
Well, one of the biggest questions going in was, of course, will they spend? So that was answered pretty emphatically.
It was.
Now, I suppose you could call that really a question for ownership more than a question for Rand Carthon, right? I mean, but I think that the approach, one thing the approach tells me is, and I don't know if this was a question, but I suppose you could frame it as a question about the quarterback. And again, we've talked about how some people kind of were scratching their heads at the Titans loading up the way they did with the young quarterback. I don't think it's weird at all. I mean, how else are you going to find out about someone? Like, if they don't have a chance to do their job, then how do you know if they can do their job or not, right?
Yeah, so that has always been really weird to me of, like, what did people think they should do? Like, just, well, they got Will Levis and they don't know about him yet, so they should just not sign anyone and just see if he can figure it out on his own.
I mean, I guess go, you know, try to stay younger, try to see if you can find out about him and Traylon Burks together, but it's like, well, there's certainly more. There's a lot more certainty about Will Levis at this point than there is about Traylon Burks, right? So I think that they answered the question of, do you believe in Will Levis? Or I think it's like, are you trying to find out, or do you actually think he's a guy? I think it drifted a little toward they're optimistic, not just in a exploratory phase here. And again, I do think that some of, like, Brian Callahan's comments, I don't think it's just – these aren't forced coach-speak comments. Like, he kind of has gone out of his way to talk about how much he believes in Will Levis. Now, big part of taking the job, what percentage of taking this job was Will Levis? You know, I don't know. But I think if you're Brian Callahan, you're going to get other opportunities. And if you really didn't believe in him, then you might have balked at this job, right?
Yeah.
But I think with Carthon, also, he, to me, demonstrated, I guess, maybe the reality of today's NFL. Like, you can't lose for long in this league. You know, you really can't. And even though it's kind of a new start and he may be doing his job differently and they have a new structure and all that stuff, it is still his second year. And the first year didn't go well. you know, the big acquisition for the biggest problem position on the team was a disaster. So it was aggressive, and I think GMs in this league need to be aggressive because, like, the clock, I think, has accelerated on everything.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. And, look, I don't know that – we said it was a busy offseason. There's no doubt. Like, they did a lot of stuff this offseason. There's a lot of new players on this team, a lot of roster turnover. Does that mean that they're going to be significantly better than they were a year ago? Not necessarily. Like, I don't know that. But I do feel good about the holes that they filled, knowing that, as we said to begin the offseason, there was no way they were realistically going to be able to fill every hole that they had. There was too many holes to fill in one offseason. I think they did a reasonably good job of addressing a lot of those needs, and we'll see how well they addressed it, right? Like, I mean, you can make an argument. There's no argument. Last year, one of the weakest position groups overall outside of DeAndre Hopkins was wide receiver. They have clearly addressed that, and that should be on paper a lot better. I think there was a lot left to be desired in the secondary, specifically at corner, and they've clearly addressed that. They on paper should be a lot better there. Offensive line, we'll see. We'll see what that looks like with Bill Callahan and with the additions that they've made. But they clearly had a game plan this offseason to be aggressive and to push forward there, and we'll see how it goes. Like, you know, on the Carthon front, so much of it still is going to come down to Levis, right, and what that looks like. And I'm not saying it's all tied to him, because maybe there is a scenario here where Levis doesn't work out and he gets to make another pick at quarterback and then you go from there. I don't know. But this offseason, I did think there was a lot of people with what they did last year wondering, all right, how much of that was Carthon? How much of that was Vrabel? And what did that look like? Like, we know what this was this offseason. It's clearly Carthon, and he was very aggressive in his approach.
And another thing that he did, I mean, you could look at it in terms of being a risk taker. Obviously, his predecessor went too far in gambling on, you know, guys with injuries.
Yep.
You got two significant, well, I guess you could even look at both of the top two picks just because you're switching one to the other side, but especially the second round pick and the Snead signing. I mean, there's some boom bust to both of those things, right?
Yeah.
And I guess that the Snead thing, people can argue either way. I'm not overly concerned that he's not out there on a particular day in May. We got another open day. I think it's Wednesday this week. I think tomorrow. Yeah. I'm going to have to wrap my head around. Today's not Monday.
Correct.
Right? But so, you know, we'll see tomorrow who's out there. I'm not overly concerned about that. But, look, obviously the knee scared some teams off. It was a talking point before last season. He was fantastic during the season. If that's what it's going to be, great. But you don't know that. There's a boom bust with him. And obviously Sweat, Tavondre Sweat, is second-round pick. I mean, I see fantastic potential there. But certainly that's a gamble too.
Well, and look, if – Snead comes in this year and there's virtually no problem with the knee and he is still the same elite player that he was last year in this defense, like, Carthon is going to get all the credit in the world for that. On the flip side, like, if he comes in and the knee's a problem and he ends up missing games and you feel like this could be a big issue for the Titans moving forward, the conversation that is going to come up on this show that people are going to be calling in about is, how in the world could the rest of the league apparently have seen this with L'Jarius Sneed and you didn't if you ran Carthon and the Titans? Like, that's what it's going to be.
Nice.
I think we may know from who it's going to be based on that little drop there.
Yeah. Well, look, Jared has talked a lot about the, you know, Minnesota sort of withdrawing. And so the reporting around that, you know, there's obviously no full transcript play-by-play of the conversations, but certainly looks like a team that was scared off, you know, and potentially by the medical. I mean,
yep.
And how many other teams, that's the thing. I mean, how many other teams out there looked into it, were serious, and that's why they didn't? And we don't know. Don't know all the phone calls. We just know the Titans got the deal done and paid handsomely, or paying him handsomely for sure. So, look, I still, at this point, I have to say I like it. I liked the Julio Jones move too. Turned out to – to be, you know, the wrong time. And he was – and this is – there is some similarity with this in terms of there was concern. There was conversation about it. Some teams were probably scared away. But the performance the year before, again, even though it's different in that Julio Jones missed time, was very good. He was producing. He looked great when he played. L'Jarius Sneed looked great all year, and he played all year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think sometimes you do, though, you do have to take some risks in things like this. And on the John Robinson front, the risk that people saw in Jeffrey Simmons turned out to be a really good one. Maybe that emboldened him a little bit too much moving forward after that.
Well, and I've said it before, and I don't know who it's going to be. You know, there's probably going to be one or two at least of the players that they've signed this offseason that are going to play significant roles that don't work out, right? Like whether it's Sneed, whether it's Ridley, I don't know who it's going to be. But, I mean, you're hoping it's not either one of those guys because you paid big money for Ridley, and obviously the trade and the big money you're going to Sneed, like you need those two guys to work out. But there's going to be somebody they bring in this offseason that is not going to work. Like it's difficult in any professional sport to just hit across the board in the moves that you make in one offseason. But the hope is at the end of the day that you're, number one, you're identifying the right people, and number two, you're hitting way more than you're missing. That's what it's about in the National Football League. Nobody's going to hit on everybody, but if you can hit significantly more than you miss, that's how you end up with some staying power in this league, that general manager.
Right. So we'd be shocked if receiver isn't a lot better overall. Cornerback isn't a lot better overall. I mean, those on paper, they're both dramatically improved.
Yeah,
I'll be surprised if the offensive line isn't quite a bit better. I mean, first of all, you can only go up from what they were last year. But that's also, if right tackle's a disaster, that's one thing he didn't do.
Yep.
You were never going to do everything, but the choice was, got some guys left on the roster, and, you know, one of those guys is going to have to work out. I mean, that could end up undoing the whole. If it's really bad, then some of the other improvements aren't as impactful because you have to deal with that really bad position. So that's an interesting one, too.
So what do you make of the moves that Rand Carthon made this offseason? What questions did Rand Carthon answer about himself and his tenure as Titans general manager with the moves he made this offseason? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Get your team signed up to play now in the 615 Open at Hermitage Golf Course coming up on Thursday, June the 20th. There will be delicious sample offerings from Prince's Hot Chicken, Bavarian Beer House, and more. Enjoy Michelob Ultra and other adult beverages at our sampling stations. Afterward, dinner provided by Burger Republic. Sign up today at 615open.com. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. What questions did Rand Carthon answer this offseason? And again, we've talked about this. So much comes down to Will Levis and what he does this year. The additions, though, I think make the offense pretty intriguing when you factor in the skill positions at wide receiver, but also Brian Callahan, first-year play caller, new offensive system, all those things. Tony Pollard coming in at running back. Like it's really a dramatically different offense all across the board than it was a year ago, and that's from every level. You want to talk about offensive line? You got another high-level draft pick that's coming in. You got Bill Callahan, and you've signed a huge free agent in Lloyd Cushenberry. It's a totally transformed offensive line. You want to talk wide receiver? Well, we've done that. We know what that looks like. Really, the only position outside of the obvious at Will Levis that remains the same is tight end, right? Like, they didn't do much on the tight end front. Other than that, it's a completely different offense. So, number one, I think that's exciting when you have an offense that was as bad as the Titans was a year ago. Number two, my question does become, how long is it going to take for everybody to gel and to get on the same page? And what does that look like with the early part of the Titans schedule? Because we went through their schedule when it came out. They've got some tough games kind of right off the hop here with the season. So can Brian Callahan, Will Levis, and the Titans, like, can they get this thing going quickly on the offensive side of the ball? That's a big question heading into this year.
Yeah, it is. And it's just so many different things to find out about. You have OC, being an OC for the first time, head coach play caller, doing the play calling for the first time. I mean, that's, you know, you think about that. I mean, first of all, head coach for the first time. That's a huge deal. That's
a big deal.
Tough. And then also play calling for the first time.
While doing
all
that.
Of it.
Yeah.
So you're your first Sunday, yeah, like you're all, this is all new. You're in charge of everything. You're the CEO, and you're also like dictating the play calls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot, man. Yeah, like you said, tight end. I suppose you could also say right tackle.
Right tackle.
Don't yes. have a right tackle.
Nope. Don't make me tell the right tackle story.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, that one's well worn. But yeah, you know that it's there are options there, and we'll see on that. That's one of the big questions. But very very different. You got Spears back, so you got and we know that he's good. But I think that there's another level for him. Again, I'm not going to overreact on that either. On like. What you see on the practice field, I will say that I thought he looked really good last week. So take that for whatever it's worth.
Do you know whether or not he's acquired an ACL in the offseason? That was a big talking point last year. No ACL for that guy. I don't know if you heard.
I have heard. Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, with him and then with Legarius Sneed, who we've talked about, it's like, I guess basically you look at it like, what is the timeline? Maybe the timeline is a little bit restricted compared to some guys. But what exactly is the timeline? Right now, he does not seem to be suffering from the lack of an ACL.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Don't have one, can't tear it.
That's true. That's one thing you don't have to worry about with him, at least in that knee. And then the Pollard side of this, too. Like, if Pollard hits, that's the other part that we probably don't talk about enough. Like, what if Tony Pollard is really good? Like, what if Tony Pollard is the Tony Pollard from 2 years ago in this offense? Like, what does that do? Because everybody wants to focus in on throwing the ball, and I get it. But what does that do if Pollard is completely recovered from the injury last year and he's every bit as good as he was a couple years ago? I mean, that's a pretty nice weapon to have at your disposal if you're the Titans there.
Yeah, see, Pollard, to me, is an example because, look, these GMs, they really are looking for opportunities to basically pennies on the dollar acquire people whenever possible. Pollard, to me, is a good injury move because it looked like last year the overall year was affected by the injury and the surgery, but then he looked a lot more like old Pollard late in the season.
Yeah.
So maybe, there's some question about him, but you look closely enough, it's like, okay, actually you should get the previous version of him. Now, running back, there's a restricted timeline for all the running backs, but I think it's probably going to work out. Also interesting to hear, last week, Callahan sort of compare contrast those guys a little bit about the smooth running of Pollard and the route running of Spears. But I still think they're very similar and interchangeable.
I agree. I'm interested, like the snap breakdown, what that ends up looking like with those two is going to be pretty intriguing. I think it's probably going to be something that changes game by game, week by week. That's probably, in an ideal situation, that's what you want, right, is – if somebody's got the hot hands,
because they're both good.
As long as it's because they're both good. Yeah. If they're both, if neither one of them can get going, that's a problem.
Or one of them flops or whatever, then, one of them gets hurt. But, yeah, I would think so. I would think it would bounce back and forth. 2018, the last time Titans had a new head coach, there was some weeks where it was like, Deion Lewis, get him the ball every chance you can. And then, Derrick Henry can get a carry here or there, too.
One of the things that's also interesting about, you mentioned Callahan being a first-time head coach, first-time play caller. There's a lot that goes into that. You're also still the head coach, and you got to have some idea of what's going on the defensive side of the ball, right? Like, how much does he give Denard Wilson? Does he just say, hey, this is you, man. You take care of that? Because some people do that. Some people, some coaches around the league say, I'm the head coach. I'm also the offensive play caller. You worry about the defensive side of the ball. I'm going to worry about this. Is that how they're going to treat things with Denard Wilson, or is Brian Callahan going to have his hands all over that too? Like, I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting because, it's like your guy in Dallas, McCarthy. I mean, that's kind of what he's done, right, with Dan Quinn. I mean, basically, and it's different when you have Dan Quinn, who a very accomplished D coordinator who's been an accomplished head coach.
It's the first time DC.
Certainly know how to just take over one side of the ball, you've led an entire football team. But this is a little different. So yeah, that's a good question. How much? I mean, certainly he drops in, of course, right? I mean, I think he's talked some about that. He's dropping into all the different meeting rooms, things like that. But when it comes to like a game week, and now it's the nitty gritty of preparing, is it basically just like, I'm here if you need me, but, you know, and keep me abreast of the plan and all that stuff, but yeah, way more into the offensive game plan and what you're going to be doing play by play on Sunday.
Robert in Spring Hill on the text line. As far as the offseason goes, I'm most excited about Devondre Sweat. I think he's going to be a guy that really helps Jeffrey Simmons and the rest of the line. If you go back and watch him at Texas, Byron Murphy was taking advantage of the fact he was such a force to be reckoned with in the middle. Biggest concern is Calvin Ridley. He has not really been the man since about 2020. So I hope he turns things around and could be that guy that's a true number one. But he's got a lot to prove to earn that big contract. I mean, I think he was pretty good last year, and then things started to basically fall off with the whole team, right? Like, Lawrence was pretty clearly hurt. You want, I think, more than you saw from Calvin Ridley last year, especially with the money you're paying him now. But, like, to me, last year, him coming off the suspension, in my opinion, was actually a pretty encouraging year about, because I thought, like, I didn't know what he was going to be for Jacksonville last year, and I think he ended up being pretty good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think it's just 29 years old, and if he loses a step here soon, what does that mean? But, yep. Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good. We've talked with Charles Robinson about Jacksonville, I guess, misusing him, which yep. is interesting. Of course, the passing game coordinator for the Jags is here.
So that part,
I'd like to know what he thinks about about that idea. But there's another guy.
Nick, do you plan on misusing him here as well?
Yeah. Will this be another year of misusing Calvin Ridley? But another practice observation you can take or leave, laugh at, that's fine. He looks pretty fast out there. Looks pretty explosive. So, I don't know. I wouldn't put him on the I think the concern, Liz, like Snead and just availability has got to be there, you know? Like, it's certainly always going to be part of the discussion with him. I mean, I think there's a certain level of at least good play that you're going to get from Calvin, really. That'd be very surprising if not.
I agree.
I don't know about great. You know, we'll see on that. And look, they paid him to be a big-time producer, but I think he's going to be a producer.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on the Titans coming up next. There's also something that's not really brewing, but kind of seems like it could be brewing in the NHL that I want to get to as well coming up next that I think Predators fans should pay attention to. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for a buy one, get one free admission for just $44.99. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. I've spent many a day at Beach Bend Park throughout my lifetime. Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon Water Park, just a short drive to Bowling Green, Kentucky. I've been going to Beach Bend Park for 20 years.
Yeah?
A little bit over 20
years. I've
not
been there. Should I go?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you like nice rides and a water park.
I do.
There you go.
Okay, I will go.
There you go. Maybe we'll go together.
Okay.
A live show from Beach Bend Park. I think we could do it.
Do a remote, and then but during commercial breaks, get a quick
hop on a roller coaster.
In. Yeah. I'm there.
Joe will rejoin us in a minute. He is vomiting over the side of the roller coaster right now.
Yeah, I'm good on roller coasters. I'm good on the hills, all that stuff. Just can't do the spinny stuff.
So yeah, I'm kind of with you.
The spinny stuff, it never used to bother me. It bothers me now. But the big hills and all that, yeah. Let's go.
Let's do it.
And by the way, listening to great. I'm liking David Jane's intro music today. Yes. Little Jolene. I still have not been to Dollywood.
Really?
Pretty bad. Oh my gosh. I know. It's pretty bad, right? Been here on my ninth year here, and I have not been to Dollywood. That's bad.
That is bad.
I know. Yeah. So I'm going to change that too.
This is going to be a summer full of theme parks.
It really
is. Rex Road. Beach Bend and Dollywood. It's coming your way.
Well,
just a magical time.
Well, I've got a kid who's like begging us to somehow make it up to Cedar Point at some point, too. So
this could really be a big summer for you.
It could be quite a big summer. Yeah.
Take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. So, Joe, there is a situation is probably a strong term here, but there is an interesting thing that I'm monitoring in the NHL. So we were talking about potential trade targets for the Predators last week and about how, like, sometimes there's just names that pop up that you don't really expect, i.e. like Matthew Tkachuk a couple years ago. Matthew Tkachuk was unhappy in Calgary, made it clear that he was not going to re-sign with the Flames, and he got traded from Calgary to Florida, and it has worked out very well for the Florida Panthers. And last week, I just kind of threw out the name. Hey, Brady Tkachuk, he's with Ottawa. He's in the middle of a long-term deal right now, but things are not going very well in Ottawa, and could there be a point where he just says, eh, all right, it's time to move on, or could they say, all right, time to move on? Well, after that happened last week, and I did not start this, by the way. I just want to make that clear. But for, I don't know what happened this weekend, but there was, like, Ottawa Senator Twitter was going nuts about, like, Brady Tkachuk being traded. Like, oh, they're going to trade Brady. He's going to get traded, going to get traded. To the point where yesterday, Pierre LeBrun came out with a story at TSN with Steve Staios, who is the general manager slash president of hockey operations for the Ottawa Senators, basically having to go into, like, damage control mode and talking about how they're not trading Brady Tkachuk. The quote was, quote, complete BS. We are building this team around Brady. His leadership and unique skill set are rare. There's absolutely no validity to it, the rumors that Brady Tkachuk is out there. So, again, I don't know if there's anything to this story, but I said it last week, and I'll say it again. One thing to keep an eye on, like if you're a Predators fan and you're trying to find some big fish out there, keep an eye on the Senators this year, because if they're not good, like if they're bad again, I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that Brady Tkachuk eventually looks around and says, all right, what are we doing here? Like, I understand I'm in the middle of a long-term deal here. What are we doing? Because if it's not going to get any better, I need you to trade me. I'm just saying, something to keep an eye on.
Okay.
It's a non-story.
Not right
now. It could
end
up being a story.
Yeah. Obviously.
And Ottawa Senators Twitter, for whatever reason, is freaking out about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, if you're them, it's like, man, I mean, you have to, you know, you want to be able to keep great player.
You would think.
And build around. You just have to build well around it. But, yeah, sometimes it's like, well, he's not happy, and you can get assets and, you know, just use that to keep going young again. And, again, you can be in that desert for a long time. There's some other franchises around this league that know that well. But that's an interesting one. So he's 24 years 24. Old. What's the contract
he is,
situation?
I believe he's got four more years left. Four or five, I have to go look. But he's at $8.205 million per year. So for his production, pretty good.
Eight. Okay.
He scored 37 goals last year, 74 points.
Wait a minute. What? So I see 8 years. I see he signed at eight for 76 in 22. No.
21.
No, that's Matthew. See? That's the problem when I Google
Tkachuk contract.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. So Brady, yeah.
7 years, $57 million in 2021, 8.2 per year. So, I mean.
And you're talking about a mid-30s goal scorer, 70-point guy on a bad team.
Yeah. He's got 4 years
6'4", 225, power forward to the max.
So, again, I'm not saying that, like, Predators fans should, like, bring out the welcome mat for Brady Tkachuk now. I'm just saying guys like that you need to keep an eye on. Like, and I'm sure, like, Barry Trotz would never say this publicly, but, like, in the back of your mind, I think you're always, as a general manager, kind of monitoring, especially when situations get a little hairy with star
the bleep
players.
Shows.
Like, when you start getting into trade rumors, and his is, Brady Tkachuk's a little bit, I mean, it's a lot different than Matthew Tkachuk, because Matthew Tkachuk made it clear he was not re-signing with his team. Now, Brady Tkachuk's got 4 years left on his deal. So it's a much different situation there. I'm just saying, like, if things start to fall apart there, keep an eye on things like that.
Yeah. That's an interesting one for sure. In the meantime, you know, like a situation like that, that's something that could materialize. Is there a chance that the big move, whatever it might be, happens this summer?
Could be. And it would be interesting to see, like, who that would be. I mean, the thing is, like, if you look at free agents next year in the NHL, which is always something that, like, nobody, like, really hones in on when you're heading into this offseason, because obviously everybody's focused on free agents this offseason. But one thing I always try to do is keep
look
in mind
ahead
on who's a free agent next year. Yeah. Because sometimes that affects what teams do. Like, they either try to get them signed to another contract, or they move on from some guys a year early.
And the thing is, like, in the market, people always talk about that stuff, but then they don't look at other guys like that, right? Like,
right.
We talk about Saros all the time because he's got the 1 year left. So, yeah, that's definitely a place to look.
But, I mean, next year, I mean, right now, Marner, free agent next year. Dreisaitl, free agent next year. Rantanen, free agent next year. I mean, next year's free agent class is pretty loaded. Now, I don't think any of those guys, like Marner's probably the one exception that could become available. Mm-hmm. I don't think any of those other guys are becoming available. I'm just saying, like, you always got to keep an eye. Like, Sam Bennett in Florida is a free agent next year. There's always guys that teams have their eye on 1 year kind of out down the road here that is going to be interesting to see how they fit under the cap.
Yeah. So, the Marner thing will, you know.
Ryan Johansson, free agent next year, too.
Oh, how about that? Now, wait a minute. So, he finished up somewhere in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Who was he with?
Oh, he's got traded to Philly, and then he was
with their
sent
AHL.
Down to Lehigh Valley, and Lehigh I don't think Valley. He ever showed up.
Really?
Yeah.
He didn't show up?
I think he was hurt.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
So
the Ryan Johansson
I don't know what
rejuvenation.
Like next year.
You're paying him. Bring him back.
Victor Hedman, free agent next year. There's a lot of really good free agents next year. Shesterkin, Saros. A lot of really good ones.
So,
I mean, a lot of those are going to get resolved between
yes,
now and then.
But maybe one or two don't.
Yeah.
I mean, Marner, obviously, is going to be a huge thing. And I'm just I'd love to know if Barry Trotz actually has interest there or if, like,
right.
There's a non-starter element to the whole thing with Mitch Marner.
I would love to know, too. Apparently, there was photos going around social media this weekend of him and Craig Berube in, like, the back corner of some coffee shop in Toronto this weekend.
Just hashing it all out.
I guess hashing it all
out.
Figuring out what was going on. So
talking about where they're going to trade him. I mean, that conversation can be a lot of different things.
Yeah. What do you feel? How do you feel about no state income tax, Mitch? Is that where you'd like this to send you? A few different options there. I'm just saying. No, it's going to be really interesting to see how that part of it plays out. And can you land a big fish that way if you're Barry Trotz? Is that what it's going to take for you to land a big fish? Is it going to take a trade? Or can you identify somebody in free agency that could be that guy? We've talked about Reinhart. Still have my doubts that he's actually going to get there and going to become a free agent, but we'll see. I mean, he's having a good playoff for Florida right now. Scored a couple big goals again the other day, so you would assume the price continues to go up on him. I would also assume the desire to keep him, if you're the Florida Panthers, probably continuing to go up as well.
Yeah, that's – I can't get there. And I've completely – I just 100% do not believe that this McDonough deal happens if Stamkos isn't back for them. So I've just – because early, before this happened, I was like, I could see Tampa Bay kind of being like, okay, it's time to just pivot.
Yeah.
Move forward, and then maybe that would be, although an older guy, boy, still a really good player that the Preds could have targeted. But yeah, I think both those guys are going to stay in Florida.
Just
They
need somebody to just, hey, Brady Tkachuk, Brady, demand a trade. Somebody demand a trade. We talked about Matthew Tkachuk, how the Predators should have gone after him. Just go get his brother.
He
becomes available.
They were on the list of teams. For Matthew, right? We believe.
I believe he was at least somewhere on the list.
Yeah.
According to our friend Jeremy Rutherford, who we had on the show at the time.
Yeah, yeah. So he can't get one. I mean, you'd rather have Matthew, but Brady's good too.
Brady is good. 615-737-1025. Maybe this will find its way onto Ottawa Senators Twitter and they can yell at us.
Yeah, that's right. Someone's
trying to drum up some bullcrap trade stuff to Nashville.
Nate says,
throwing it out.
Nate says, unlike Jared, Robbie isn't taking credit for rumors. Classic.
Well, I saw the story yesterday. Like, Pierre LeBrun came out with, it just said Brady Tkachuk not going anywhere. And I was like, okay, so was there, apparently Ottawa Senators Twitter all weekend long was talking about Brady Tkachuk being traded to the point where he felt like he had to do a story on it. So I'm just saying.
And it wasn't, there was no, like, media element of that.
Not that I've seen. No.
Sends Twitter.
I guess they just think that they're just going to move on from. Not
what
I
kind
think,
of an angry place is Sends Twitter?
I don't know. I think Ryan Whitney, who former NHL player, he does the Spit and Chicklets podcast now. Like, I think he threw something out there back in the regular season about how, like, the Senators might move him to try to recoup some stuff for him. But that's the only thing that I've seen somebody throw that out there about. So I don't know. I don't know where it came from, but it was enough to get the general manager on with Pierre LeBrun, apparently.
Well, and this is like sometimes you got an AD in college sports who puts out the statement, you know, supporting the coach, and then the coach is fired 2 months later. So
Brady Kachuk has our full vote of confidence.
Yeah. He's not going anywhere. And that's when you know he's going somewhere.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will join us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Would like a world of change. It helps me to appreciate those nights and those
It
days.
Is that time of the day. Time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program with our good friend Scott Stapp in the background, bringing us back in to set the mood, set the tone for today's Rex Rant.
See, this is not a rageful Rex Rant, but that if it was, that would have been perfect. But you didn't know that, David. So
thank I should you, have though. Asked.
No, that's fine. I mean, you know.
There's never a bad time to play that song.
I told Robbie this weekend at Nick Kieser's wedding, you know, I actually there's a lot about Scott Stapp I didn't really know. And I don't know. My wife showed me some stuff. I'm like,
kind of a great guy.
Well, I think I might need to stop ripping on Creed a little bit. What do you think?
Thank God. What a breakthrough on the show today.
What? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I'm still going to hate them as much as I always have. Don't get me wrong. However, you know, maybe I can be a little nicer, okay?
Just a little bit.
But I guess this is – I guess I'm saying this because today I did want to talk a little bit about Bill Walton. Very sad story yesterday that Bill Walton died at age 71 of cancer. I did not know that he was fighting cancer.
I didn't either.
You know, that happens, obviously. Sometimes people want to stay private with something, and I had thought we hadn't seen a lot of him, you know, in the last few months. So very sad, and it brings me to this question. I mean, how many people? Because I have seen just testimony after testimony. I've read a lot. You know, there's a lot of really good stuff out there about Bill Walton. How many like universally liked and not at all disliked people are there in the world? Because I think he's one of them. And I'm sure someone could, maybe there's a Blazers fan, you know, when he forced a trade in 1979, who's still bitter at him. But like, seriously, like when I die, possibly soon, yeah, there's some people, you know, like miss me and say nice things. Some people are like, good, that jerk's dead. What's that?
Jeez.
Well, I mean, it's probably. I think most
Scott
people.
Scott Stapp, maybe.
Well, maybe. Oh, good. Rocks Road can kick rocks.
Thank God.
Kick rocks, Rocks Road. But seriously, Bill Walton, like, universally, and I'm sad. Like, I never had any dealings. I've seen a lot of people say, you know, I had this. I had this interview with him, or had this. Was at this event with him, and he was amazing. You know, like, a lot of people have these stories. I'm sad I never crossed paths with Bill Walton, but I just admired him from afar. I will say, though, in the 90s, if you remember this, let me know, and you were probably a little too young, Robbie. Yeah, it was like early, mid-90s, so Bill Walton started getting on the NBC NBA broadcasts.
Okay.
And I hated him.
Yeah.
So if you go back to that, and it's really interesting because it turned into, I mean, here – once he was doing college basketball and ESPN and stuff, it was like you needed to – like it's can't-miss broadcasting. You never knew what he was going to say.
Yeah.
But he was so fun and funny and just off the wall and wild. I mean, just amazing stuff. If you go back to those NBC, he was actually incredibly critical. And to the point where I remember being like, oh, no, Walton's on this game. Like, terrible pass. What a terrible pass. Like I used to actually – like, dislike the idea of Bill Walton doing those games. So it's interesting to see how that changed for him. But that's the only thing I can come up with is my own complaining about his broadcast on the NBA in the 90s.
Yeah.
Like just an absolutely beloved. And I don't think people understand how great he was as a player. He's a top 50 player of all time. But he had I was just reading this in a piece. He had 39 surgeries on his feet, and he blew his knee out as a kid. He said he peaked at 12, and he said the biggest regret he had, this is from our Obed at The Athletic, quote, "I didn't let pain be my guide. I didn't say, if it hurt a lot, don't play." So he missed three full seasons, missed 762 games, and still MVP, two-time champ, sixth man of the year, incredible career despite that.
Yeah, like, I mean, obviously I did not watch Bill Walton play. My biggest memories are hit for him are on a broadcast. And a lot of the times it was like the late night Pac-12 broadcast, Pac-10 at the time, where, you know, he's wearing like some Hawaiian neon shirt out there and he's just saying things that have nothing to do with the game going on. And you're like, what is happening here? Like, I'm kind of with you, like, It was weird because, like, I would watch games with Bill Walton on it, and sometimes I would find it just hilarious, and sometimes I was just like, what is happening? Like, what's going on out here? Like, what game is he watching? Are there other things that he's doing besides watching this basketball game right now? But, yeah, like, it was certainly his own style, and nobody has been quite like him in terms of calling a game. Like, it's really interesting the way it all went down. I'm with you. Like, I think I saw him – I want to say early this last college basketball season, I feel like I saw him on a broadcast, but that was about it.
Not
like
much.
I had not seen him much on ESPN broadcast lately.
Yeah.
So obviously didn't know this was going on, but that kind of explains why.
And look, when someone passes away, I mean, unless you're talking about a really reviled dictator or something like that, for the most part, you know, you have people, you have testimonies, you have people say nice things about that person, right?
Yes.
But, you know, if it's a public figure, typically there's some controversy, there's some adversary, you know, and I think this is one of those rare occasions where it's just like everybody's just like, I mean, it's like, I don't want to compare him to like Mother Teresa, but, you know, he's not Mother Teresa, okay? He's the Grateful Dead's version of Mother Teresa.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, he really is like just universally, and every single story is like this, kind of behind the scenes. I mean, I saw like Reese Davis tweeted out a story. There's so many of these out right now. But, yeah, I was like Reese Davis and Bill Walton, they were just talking about his hometown or whatever and kind of randomly. Then Bill Walton asked him, like, what's the address of the house you grew up in? Like, okay, here you go. Like, what? Why? So then Bill Walton goes to his house, gets dirt from his house and says, I'm going to mix it with the dirt at my house. And like, what? Okay. I mean – like totally off the wall stuff, but also just I don't know. He's just a seemed like a universally beloved, really good human being. So sad that he's gone because we should have had a lot more years of him on the call. And of course, he and Dave Pasch in particular ripping each other, and that was there's just nothing really like that. You know, we might lose inside the NBA. I mean, I think we are in some way. And I think the Walton Pasch announcing duo is the most unique, wild, wacky, unpredictable announcing duo I can think of.
Yeah, like it was pretty wild. And then you mentioned his playing career. Obviously, he won two championships in the NBA. He won two more in college. Like he was with those John Wooden teams at UCLA in the early to mid 70s. And like you talk about. One of the heydays of college basketball, but one of the greatest kind of dynasties of all time, that John Wooden UCLA group, and he was a big part of that for 3 years from 72 to 74.
So I'm looking up this stat. They beat Memphis in a title game, and I want to say he was like, yeah, there you go. He was 21 of 22 from the floor.
That's pretty good.
21 of 22, scored 44 points. So obviously, he scored. I must ask about Memphis. They were Memphis State back then.
Yeah, they were Memphis State.
He's 21 of 22. So that means obviously he got 42 of his 44 points at the line. Maybe foul him a little bit.
Maybe.
Maybe try to put a body on him.
Maybe see it, like make some more free throws rather than continue to just drop the ball in the bucket on us. But. No, incredible
21
player.
Of 22.
And another thing about Walton.
That's got to be a record.
Yeah. That won't be touched. Yeah, as far as shooting percentage, that won't be touched.
Especially for like a minimum amount of attempts. Yeah, like that's got to be.
Right. And the
somebody
thing
goes
is,
3 of 3, whatever. But like if you've taken a minimum of 15 shots, that's got to be a record.
Right. Yeah. And another thing about him, and I didn't realize this, a lot of stuff you learn about someone, you know, when they pass away. But so he had a serious like stuttering problem and things like that at UCLA. And John Wooden actually like kept him from media because he was so introverted and so not confident about his speech publicly. Can you imagine
that? What you think of when you think of Bill Walton.
Yeah, exactly. So an incredible life. So gone over too soon.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Gentry Estes from the Tennessean. We'll get his thoughts on Vanderbilt and Tennessee and their draws in the regional, plus a lot more with the Titans and Preds as well. Coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.